This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It's Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios. Sparky here, Charlie Usen over there, other side of the glass. The Packers have made a signing. Aaron Banks, guard from the San Francisco 49ers. I looked this up in the break, Charlie. His Pro Football Focus grade. Now, I know, some of y'all don't like Pro Football Focus. He allowed one sack last year, okay? His number was 65.4 overall rating from Pro Football Focus. Quentin Nelson was in front of him on your players list as far as salaries go with his new deal, right, for Nelson or for Banks.
Correct.
Nelson's number was 81 point something.
Okay.
That's a significant difference to me. Joining us now, he is Ryan Wood, Packers beat writer for the Green Bay Press Gazette. Follow him on Twitter at @ByRyanWood. That was some unbelievable timing on the time of this news coming out. Ryan Wood, your thoughts?
You know, first and foremost, I've been sitting here waiting to talk with you today, wondering, okay, what is Sparky's temperature going to be?
Hot!
If nothing happens.
I was mad!
I imagined it would be. So, is the temperature come down now? How are you feeling, Sparky?
Ryan, be honest with me, all right? Just be honest. When you woke up this morning, did you see guard coming?
No. I understand. What's always interesting about this job is that you can almost never predict what the Packers specifically will ever do. But once they do it, it kind of makes sense in rear view. Like, I understand the thinking here. It doesn't mean that whiffing on a potential DK Metcalf trade was not a huge swing and a miss. I mean, who knows if he even swung. That to me is the headline right now in terms of the Packers' foray into free agency is they had a potential to go get a top eight receiver, and they're bleeding receiver production in this offense. They need it, and they didn't do it for two. You throw in a five, pay the guy $30 million, and I understand that's a lot of money. That's also market, and it's a soft cap. You want a top eight receiver in this league, you pay $30 million a year. That is the marketplace. That's the price it sets. They didn't do that, but I understand the thinking with Aaron Banks. They think that Josh Myers was a servable starter, was not a dominant starter. This is an offense that last year ran through Josh Jacobs. They had a brand of physicality that you just never see from this Packers offense. It worked pretty well for them. I mean, they were a very good rushing offense team. And then, oh, by the way, you've got a quarterback who's very good on his own at limiting pressure, not taking sacks. But you always want to protect the franchise. You do that by getting the top guard available in free agency. Get ready for Elton Jenkins or Sean Ryan to slide over to center. I understand the thinking there, but to me, it doesn't wash over the fact that what they need here is edge rusher and receiver. It's very obvious when you look at this roster where the talent deficiency is. They had an opportunity because DK Metcalf was available for a second round pick to go and get a guy that is one of the best receivers, one of the most physically talented receivers in this league, and they didn't do that. I think that's going to sting.
Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette joins us. Follow him on Twitter @ByRyanWood. Would you like to explain to the audience, if you could, Would you consider the Packers an outside zone blocking scheme or an inside blocking scheme?
They've historically, legacy has been an outside zone blocking scheme. They transitioned to inside zone last year with Josh Jacobs, and it went pretty well. I mean, you can't say it did it, but it was definitely, from a run scheme perspective, it was a pretty significant change that they underwent last year.
Correct. Now, let's read to you what the write-up is that I found from Grant Cohen on SI. Bang should go to a team that doesn't feature outside zone blocking as prevalently as the Niners do because he's not quick and agile enough to make those blocks. Banks would be a much better fit on a team that features inside zone blocking and RPOs, a team like the Eagles or the Chiefs. So maybe that grade that isn't that great will be better now that he's going to a scheme that fits him better, Ryan Wood.
Your classic road grading guard. He likes to maul people. He wants to take people's lunch money. He's a bully in the trenches. That is what they ran with Josh Jacobs. It's not what they ran with Aaron Jones. It was very, very different because guess what? Aaron Jones and Josh Jacobs are very, very different running backs. Once they got Josh Jacobs in their building and they built their brand, their identity in this offense around him, they became an inside zone blocking team.
Now, what are we going to do at center, Ryan? What do you think? Is this going to be Jenkins? Is this going to be Sean Ryan? Are we going to draft a center? Like, where are we going here? Because now, by adding a guard, somebody's without a chair between Jenkins and Ryan if that's the way they're going.
I think the best use of free agency is always to shore up your positions of need, especially with depth. And we all talked about it. Offensive line needed more depth this spring. You shore it up in free agency, and you really limit the need once it comes draft time. The way that this free agency period is turning out, they're going to have plenty of draft needs between edge rusher and receiver. So offensive line suddenly is not near the need that it appeared to be. They have depth there. They can rearrange the chairs up front. I don't know if it'll be Elgton Jenkins or Sean Ryan. That's one of the things that we're going to have to ask Matt LaFleur. It'll be up to him ultimately. But they have options now, and they have more depth than they had before.
I'll tell you what I find interesting in all of this is, what is Jordan Morgan saying at this point? Because Jordan Morgan was at the guard position last year because the tackle position was solidified. However, Rasheed Walker is going into the last year of his deal with an extension pending if they decide to go that route. Is there a potential where they essentially don't extend Walker and let him walk after this year?
So a lot of that's going to be dependent on Jordan Morgan. The message to Jordan Morgan is very clear. Earn your spot. Your first round pick, nothing's going to be handed to you. Come in, earn your spot. He didn't do that last year. Obviously, the injury was the primary reason why, but even when he's on the field, it's not like that transition to guard was seamless. So he struggled. Well, this is their first full offseason in the NFL. If you want to play, earn your spot. If not, there's other options up front that they'll go with.
He is Ryan Wood, Green Bay Packers Press Gazette, Packers beat writer. Follow him on Twitter at By Ryan Wood. Okay, so everybody's been pointing out to me today while I've been venting that Sparky, don't worry. Last year it was day two when they got Xavier McKinney. It was day two when they got Josh Jacobs. Do you have a name or two of hope for me for day two that might help solve one of the areas of need?
Was it day two last year? I thought it was a day one thing.
That's what everybody's telling me. I don't remember. I'm old, so.
I don't either. I've slept a lot of nights since last year. Look, the first wave of free agency is almost done. It's not entirely done. But it's almost done at this point. At the positions of need, we're talking edge, receiver. The top guys, you know, there's some cornerbacks out there, I believe, and this might have changed in the 5 minutes that we've been talking, but I believe Charvarius Ward is still available. Yep. There's some cornerbacks still available. I thought exiting last season, not that corner wasn't a need, but that if you compared it to interior defensive line, edge, rush, receiver, it paled in terms of how significant of a need to add impact talent is. They had a nice triumvirate there at corner. Maybe the Packers see differently. Maybe they go make a splash at the corner market because that's the market that's still viable. You know, I think a guy I had my eyes on, you know, Milton Williams. I wondered if they want to make a splash, kind of a dark horse splash, could that be a place? Because this interior defensive line needs help too.
Can we talk about one of their guys? Because he is officially gone. TJ Slayton to the Bengals, 2 years, $15.1 million, according to Tom Pelissero.
You're missing about 450 snaps there. But those are really important 450 snaps. C.J. Slayton was the centerpiece of a very, very good run defense. I was quite surprised with how well he made the transition last year from the 3-4 defense under Joe Barry to a 4-3. Never played in a 4-3 before. You turn on the film, he didn't miss a step. He was still dominant against the run. Does not provide anything as a pass rusher. But that's the one thing this defensive line did well, was stop the run. This was a very good run defense up front in the trenches. They lost their guy. He was the centerpiece of that run defense. So we'll see. Maybe they think that Kenny Clark at this stage in his career can kind of transition into a guy that is really dominant in the run, doesn't give you a lot of pass rush because he didn't last year. We'll see what they do there. But, you know, 450 snaps, but that's not nothing. I think that's a significant subtraction.
And Greedy Jarrett was out there from the Falcons. I'm not sure how much he has left in the tank. He goes to the Bears, so that's another guy that's not on the board right now. I'm happy that he did something, I guess. Banks, an offensive guard. I'm perplexed that that was the area they decided to go spend money on. 4 years, $77 million for a guard. And now we'll see what they do next going forward. Ryan, thank you so much for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, one last thing. Just think of it this way.
Yeah.
What are the Chicago Bears doing, right? They're building it through the trenches. That's Ben Johnson coming in. How many times do we get on teams for getting the trenches, not building in the trenches? That is here what the Packers are doing. And, yeah, I get it. There's some other needs out there for sure that are primary needs. But they're building through the trenches. That's not a bad way to build a football team.
No, it's not a bad need. No, I'm not saying it's a bad way to go about spending the money. It's just a way that nobody actually thought of going into this thing. When you have free agent money, you would expect them to go at needs. And this offensive line, I don't think anybody really considered a need going into the offseason.
Except all five starters played 1,000 snaps last season. It's the first time in a decade, the first time since 2014 that happened, which means absolutely positively not going to be the case in 2025. That doesn't happen. That was the best thing this offensive line had, was durability last year. There was cohesiveness because all five starters were on the field every single week. You knew going in, that's not going to repeat itself. History doesn't repeat itself like that. That might explain why they felt, okay, let's go ahead and really shore up this offensive line.
There he is, Ryan Wood. Follow him on Twitter at @ByRyanWood. He's amazing. Ryan, thank you so much.
All right, take care.